Our second scripture verse this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as scribes. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I was struck by that phrase in our reading from Matthew, but it did not fall because it had been founded upon the rock. Building houses on rocky ground is something that I am very familiar with. The house that I just finished rebuilding with my wife Liz and I is on a very rocky piece of ground. Everywhere I dig on our plot of land, I will no doubt hit rocks. Sometimes when I'm lucky, those rocks are small enough that I can move them by hand. Other times I need the help of a coworker, and occasionally Liz will even come and help. And sometimes I have even needed a tractor to move them. A few of them have been so large, there was no way to move them. In fact, the front corner of our house was built on one of those rocks that was just too large to move. As we were digging the new foundation for the house, we encountered a lot of rocks. But there was that one rock that we just tried digging under the rock with the backhoe tractor, thinking that if we could get under the rock, we could lift it up out of the way. No way. We then tried to dig around the rock, but never found the end of it. It just kept going and going. I wouldn't be surprised if it went as far as our neighbor's yard. Since we were not able to move the rock, we resorted to pounding on it, hoping we could break it up into smaller pieces. We repeatedly beat on this massive rock with a large bucket on the backhoe, and we pounded and pounded and pounded, but it would not be moved. The rock won. So my structural engineer said that if this rock is going to stay, I needed to drill holes into that rock and use epoxy glue to adhere some rebar steel into it, and I brought a little sample of just a small piece of the rock. And so I had to drill holes into the rock and mount epoxy into it and then put the rebar into it. Now, this hole took me probably 20 minutes, and I had to go about 8 inches deep on the other rock, so they took a while to drill. Solid, very solid. So to say that our house is built on solid ground would be an understatement. And as much as I would like to preach on how to build a house on solid rock, I think you would quickly lose interest and wonder, when is he going to stop? So I will spare you the construction lesson and get at what I think Matthew is trying to say in this verse that we just read. So most of us spend much of our lives gathering and accumulating things. The gathering we do may be of material possessions, or it might be information or knowledge or power. We so often fool ourselves into believing that this process of accumulating and gathering brings us comfort and happiness. And yet so often all that gathering and accumulating brings us just the opposite. In our quest to gather, we so often lose sight of the most important things in life. The more we gather, the further we separate ourselves from what makes life truly meaningful. I was at my dentist's office a couple of weeks ago getting my teeth cleaned, And I've had this same dental hygienist for years, and we've gotten to know one another quite well. At this recent visit, she was sharing with me that her son is going to be married, and they're going to be hosting the reception in their backyard. Now, she knows that I'm a general contractor, and she often will ask me questions about construction while her hand is in my mouth. And she wondered if, off the top of my head, I knew how much it might cost to install an outdoor kitchen. And even though the kitchen in her house was remodeled several years ago, she didn't want to have any wedding guests or the caterer that they were hiring to do for the reception in the house during the reception. So she really wanted an outdoor kitchen. She then went on to tell me that she's always a bit apprehensive about entertaining guests at her house. Her house is very nice, she assured me, and she doesn't like having visitors over for that fear that they might cause damage to her home or the furniture. She explained that by having an outdoor kitchen, she could start to entertain family and friends more often and not have to worry about the damage that her guests might have to her house. Now, I was struck by her comments. Rather than being appreciative for the beautiful house that she had and using it more fully to connect more deeply with friends and family, she's missing out by not having family and friends over to her house. The opportunity was lost to strengthen her relationships with the most important people in her life, family and friends. Well, I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to overpack when I go on vacation. It doesn't seem to matter whether we're going on a cold winter vacation or a warm summer vacation. I invariably pack way too much. On our week-long trip to Hawaii some years back, I must have packed 10 or 12 pairs of pants and as many shirts for a one-week trip. I came home with almost more clean clothes than I had dirty clothes. I packed way too much. And then even more recently, Liz and I went to Florida for Christmas this last year, and in order to save on having two bags that we had to pay for, we decided to take one large suitcase that we would share. The only problem with that strategy is if the bag is over 50 pounds, you incur an additional fee, and it's way more than the $25. Well, sure enough, we were over 50 pounds, so there we are at the ticket counter, frantically taking things out of our suitcase to get it under 50 pounds. Now, consequently, our carry-on bags were stuffed to overflowing. And yes, we got our suitcase down to 49.8 pounds. Now, I know what you're thinking, and you're right. We packed way too much. And in many ways, we do that same thing in our relationship with God. We pack our days so full of activities that it leaves us little time to really connect with God. Jesus reminds us in our scripture reading that he has shown us a path to take in connecting more deeply and fully with God. And yet it is so easy to get off track. So often in life, we think that more is always better, when in reality, less is often more than enough. We say to ourselves, if I had just a little bit more money, a little more energy, a little more education, a little more luck, life would be so much better. But would it really? If our lives are built upon solid rocks, we can find happiness and contentment with what we have and with what we've seen. The unhappy, unfulfilled person is the one who's impatient, who wants their new house right now. But it's so much easier and faster to build on that sandy soil rather than in that rocky ground. But when we choose to build in the sand, our impatience leads to shortcuts, and we don't take the time to really grow in our relationship with God. I want my new house, and I want it right now, whatever it takes. That attitude may make us feel good in the short term, but will leave us unsatisfied and unhappy in the long run. It is so easy and tempting to have this mindset when it comes to our spiritual lives as well. But changing the way we live is rarely quick and easy. Life changes are not accomplished quickly. They take time and a lot of patience. Persistence is the key. We will be so much more successful in achieving our goals if we surround ourselves with people who live the way we want to live, and if we support one another in getting to where we want to go in life. The results and the journey is so much more rewarding. Now, in our Matthew reading, I really don't think that Jesus is suggesting that we throw out all of the old in our lives or all that we have and we replace it with something new. No, I don't think he's saying that at all. But if we proclaim to be a follower of Jesus, what we are really saying is that we have decided to leave some of the false trappings of society behind and put our trust and faith in something far greater, far more rewarding, and far more meaningful. We don't need to be in that constantly gathering mode. It's in the living out of the lessons of Jesus that we become full partners with all of God's children. And Jesus invites each of us to an encounter with God and a different way of living life. But just listening to what Jesus taught, even if we know his words well, won't have the same effect if we're not putting into action the words he so eloquently spoke. Just knowing the words won't have the same impact when we face hardship or pain and suffering in life. A life that is built upon solid rocks, this life will provide not only strength in the present to withstand the various storms that come our way in our life, but also the great final storm that sees us through to eternity. Building our lives on the solid rock will not prevent the storms occurring in our lives. The storms are inevitable. But so often, I think we will find that the bigger our God, the smaller our problems seem to be. So the question I have to ask of us is the foundation that we have built our lives upon, those rocks in our lives, have we drilled deep and epoxied our lifestyle into them? Or are we continuing to gather stuff that we think will make us happy in the short term, but in reality, just covers over the rocks? So here are some of my thoughts on what living in the sand looks like. Spending way too much time being absorbed in the life of the royal family, or the death of Kobe Bryant, or following some rock star or musician or athlete that you just really like. Being completely fixated on national or even local politics. Now, being informed about national and local news is good. It's important, but with the 24-hour news cycle, it is so easy to overdose on it. Hiding from the latest virus. Following the vitriol on Twitter, or even the negative stuff that comes up on the Nextdoor app, can be absolutely exhausting. When we overdo it on all of these things, and there are many more, it's like eating junk food. So here are some of my thoughts on what living in the solid rock looks like. Reading books that open our minds to new ideas. Spending time outside and enjoying God's creation. Becoming a volunteer for our church or some other worthwhile organization in our community. Attending the upcoming Lenten study here at church that starts on Wednesday. Please come. Visiting or calling a person in need, or even just talking with an old friend. or even a total stranger. And spending time in conversation with God, praying, and studying the Bible. When we're engaging in doing all of these things, it's like eating healthy food. Many years ago, Albert Einstein was on a train, and the conductor came up to where he was sitting and asked for his ticket. Albert Einstein was somewhat startled and taken aback by the conductor and quickly began to look for his ticket. The conductor quickly realized who this passenger was, and as Albert Einstein searched for his ticket, the conductor said, "Oh, Mr. Einstein, I know who you are. I don't need to see your ticket." But Albert Einstein continued to look frantically, and the conductor reiterated, "It's okay. I know who you are. I don't need to see your ticket." But Albert Einstein kept looking and looking, and then the conductor simply said, "It's okay." Albert Einstein replied to the conductor, "I know who I am, but I don't know where I'm going." When we put our trust and faith in God, we don't need to know the destination in our lives. We don't need to know where we are going. We just simply need to know who we are and what we believe in. When we stop spending our time gathering and spend that time drilling into the solid rock of our foundation, we have nothing to fear. For no matter what storm may come to batter us in our lives, God will be there blazing that path to that unknown destination. The writer of Deuteronomy said in our scripture reading this morning, "You shall put these words of mine in our heart and soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorsteps of your home." Well, have we all emblazoned that message of the good news of the gospel, not only into our hearts and minds, but into our daily living? Now, that is not an easy task in the world in which we live. But if we are able to do just that, our lives will have true purpose and meaning, and life can be very meaningful and very satisfying. So I want to close by reading our Matthew scripture verse once more, but this time as it's written in the Message Bible. "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these into your life, you will be like a smart carpenter who built a house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, or tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and you don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built the house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards." So as we leave this morning, after we leave worship, I hope that we will not consider that we are done communicating and connecting with God for the week. I hope we will stop gathering the unimportant in life and drill down into that hard rock, the rock that leads to true freedom. Amen.